you're listening to a longer version of Kate Russell's interview with David Braben, the creator of the classic video game Elite. This is a longer version of an interview on episode 167 of The Pod Delusion. The Pod Delusion is a weekly news magazine programme about interesting things, from politics to science to culture, all from a sceptical rationalist point of view. To find out more about The Pod Delusion, head over to poddelusion.co.uk.
So, it looks like the end of the world didn't happen after all. Hooray. And if you're a gaming fan, there is no longer any valid excuse for you not to get your credit card out and head over to Kickstarter to back David Braben's campaign to bring us Elite Dangerous, the next and most awesome-looking iteration of this seminal space trading adventure game that got me and so many others of a certain age hooked on technology back in the early 80s. And as if you needed any more persuasion than that, I have on the line right now the man himself, literally just stepped off a long-haul flight from his holidays, Commander Braben. Thank you very much for joining me.
Hi, Kate. Lovely to be with you.
Thank you. Well, David, listen, so many people of my age, you know, you literally changed everything for us with the release of Elite on the BBC Micro back in 1984. I had no experience with computers before playing the game, and I remember flying my ship through this sort of infinite universe thinking, what is this witchcraft and what else can this box on the table do? There have been plenty of copycat games over the years, but how on earth do you think up and define an entire genre from a standing start like that?
Well, we didn't set about doing it, saying, oh, let's create a genre, because I think then even the word genre didn't exist in the way it does now, if you know what I mean. What we did is, Ian and I were both, I think, be fair to say, quite tired of the existing games that were out there. Most games that you'd buy on home computers were pretty blatant copies of games that existed in the arcades. So they're strongly motivated by the coin drop, you know, putting coins into the machines. But home machines didn't need to be like that. And that's what we wanted Elite to be. We wanted Elite to be a game that we wanted to play. And that's how it started out.
Now, funnily enough, I was actually on the production team, the manufacturing team that bought Frontier Elite 2, the sequel. We waited 9 years. Why such a long wait when it was, you know, clearly such a success the first time around?
That's true. I think it was partly because Ian and I went our separate ways. I did a number of other games in between, but really wanted to come back to Elite. So that's what I did.
And here we are, sort of, you know, well, I guess 2014 will be the eventual release date for Dangerous. A cool 21 years wait this time around. You like making us wait for our Elite sequel,
don't
you?
It doesn't half make me feel old, I must say, when you start bringing it out like that. You know, you just think, it's a long, long, long time. But you're right. I mean, these games are, there's a big component of them, I suppose, that's a labour of love. And, you know, because it's the sort of game that this applies to Elite 2 as well, that certainly I want it to be, and I know a lot of other people who've very kindly sort of pledged to Kickstarter, you know, in a very, very positive way, just because this is exactly the game they want as well. But they're not. If you look at what a publisher wants is all of the games that have been tend to use as the basis some previous game and say, oh, we want one that's a bit like that except a bit better. And then you can base, there's a thing called a return on investment projection, and you can say, well, this game's going to do comparable sales to this one, so let's mark it down a bit, and it's got this other feature, so let's mark it up a little bit more, and do we make a profit if that's how many it sells, which is a very sort of clinical way of looking at it. And it also games that are sort of designed on paper, in my view, are never quite as good as ones that where you continually adjust and tweak as you go through. So I think that it's this sort of game that has the chance of being really, really an amazing game. And that's the sort of game that I want this to be.
And it's true. I mean, people tend to look these days particularly at the graphics of a game and make a judgment on the game's quality based on how shiny and, you know, special it looks. And that is true for most games, but the Elite Games engines have always been a much deeper experience than that. For people who don't know the Elite sort of franchise, you know, what was your intention for what goes on underneath the surface of the shiny graphics?
Well, I think the Elite was famous because it had such a giant world to explore in such a small amount of memory on the original machine. And even Elite 2 was a single floppy, and it had our entire galaxy in actually quite great detail, from sort of cities on planets all the way to, you know, the hundreds of billions of solar systems throughout the galaxy. And I think that sort of plays a little bit on the witchcraft you mentioned in the introduction, where, I mean, even I remember thinking, this is witchcraft. This is, you know, this is truly amazing. The fact that I, as a player, could explore a galaxy in a game that I had made without knowing what was there. It just feels very strange. And I also remember, back in the original Elite, having beauty parades of galaxies and throwing away the ones that didn't look right. You know, they were a bit lopsided or or had rude planet names.
That's brilliant. And,
but because of the way, there's this technique called procedural generation, where you generate the galaxy mathematically, and you use something called a seed, which completely changes it. But the idea is you just change that seed slightly, and the whole galaxy is completely different. Someone who I suppose still am, but certainly was a huge fan of, Douglas Adams, was absolutely fascinated by this. And the fact that you could explore a galaxy just from a single number, you know, it's very Hitchhiker's-esque in a way. And obviously the fact that we called the first two ratings in Elite harmless and mostly harmless were a tribute to Douglas Adams.
Elite Dangerous, the teasers that I've seen so far and the gameplay that you've seen, that you've put already on your Kickstarter campaign, it looks amazing. You know, it's got all of the bells and whistles that you would expect from a modern development. Can you give us a few of sort of like the key highlights of what, you know, graphically we can expect and in terms of gameplay from this new kind of universe you're creating?
Well, one of the great things with starting on the PC is we can really push the sort of graphical fidelity. You know, with games where the PC is actually a very powerful machine, the modern PC. And what we're hopefully showing is a taste of the sort of things that we're going to be able to do in the next year with the game. So everything from beautiful planets to enjoyable the way you fly. I mean, we want it to be a visual feast, but also a feast in terms of the sort of things that you can do in a game. Multiplayer has always fascinated me, and it's always been the thing that I wanted to add next to Elite anyway.
One of the things I'm really looking forward to is the multiplayer online capabilities. I was watching actually earlier today your, the fight scene gameplay that you've already posted up online, and you've got cooperative play. There's going to be player versus player, but also player versus environment, where you can call on people to help you if you get attacked on a trade mission. It's a really exciting time, because this Elite franchise was really made for multiplayer, wasn't it?
Yes, I think it's sort of just to the way it works. I mean, the thing with it, I always love the idea of calling other people in to help, but I think the thing that's always been an obstacle for me, you know, in working in a games company is great, because you can, you know, sometimes you get people playing, certainly when the company was a lot smaller, I used to be able to play multiplayer games at lunchtime with other people. But the lobby was a real barrier to that. And the lobby is, that, for those who don't know, is that the place in a game where you sort of sign up for a session. And it's a bit like you've got to be in the session at the beginning to be able to play. But we're designing the Elite Dangerous game is that you can join at any time to an existing playing game and leave it seamlessly. And I think it's that makes it, to me, makes it very compelling.
Did I hear a whisper as well that, you know, we may be able to walk on worlds, because that's probably one of the most requested things from previous games, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. I mean, there are two sides to that. The first one is the walking bit, for which you need a physical character. You need to work out, you know, and know what that physical character looks like, how they walk, choose how they look. And I think the amount of material we need for that to be compelling is actually quite a challenge. And then the other side of that coin is walking on the worlds. You know, it's actually quite easy to do a planet that is what we call in the trade a height map, you know, so sort of mountains and oceans and things like that, but is essentially just a single piece of cloth sort of draped over various different heights. It doesn't have any features on it. I think that may make it feel a little bit barren. So our plan is we will add this over time, where we want to be able to add vegetation, interesting things there, cities, big game hunting, wildlife, all of these sort of things, so that there's a real richness on the inhabited worlds that for you to see. And so what we're planning to do is when we first release the game, sometime after, we'll introduce the ability to land on planets. We'll introduce the ability to walk around inside your ship, inside space stations, on the surfaces of planets, in a carefully planned sort of cadence over time, so that the game will grow as people sort of play in it, and there'll be a sort of glorious continuity of that, if that makes sense.
Now, the thing about elite fans from the 80s is we're in our 40s now, David. Like me, you know, I don't have as much time to play games as I used to when I was a teenager. I wish I did. What are you going to be doing to sort of try and balance the gameplay options, you know, to give us missions that perhaps don't take quite as long? So one of the things I remember, you know, it was an infinite world, and you could, you know, keep missions going forever and ever. But is there going to be sort of lots of options for us more time-strapped players?
Yes, I mean, because I count myself as one of those, sadly. I would like to, very much like to play a lot more than I do of games. I mean, not just our games, but all games. I'm a huge gaming fan. But, you know, the combination of kids taking time, of work time and all of that sort of thing, just eats into it. So yes, I quite agree. And I think there's a number of different ways we're approaching that. One is the fact that you can join different groups online, and we can have groups that are tuned to different types of play that people can opt into, if that makes sense. So you'll only meet other people who... I mean, I like the idea of having a group that is, you know, people who are 40 and don't have much time to play. You actually call the group that.
Brilliant. Like guilds, like they do in sort of like the other MMOs, like World of Warcraft and
sort
stuff.
Sort of, yes. Because I think you'd also meet quite like-minded people who will tend to behave in the game much like you'd like to behave. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You could still have a game that would play with anyone as sort of free-for-all, but then it would be up to you. And then the other way of doing it is actually, as you say, balancing different types of missions and objectives. I mean, one of the beauties with Elite and Frontier was that you could actually, in a sense, choose your difficulty. If you go to somewhere that's truly lawless, then guess what? It's truly lawless. And, you know, it's much harder to get to a place and to sort of fight your own way. You know, we will.
But there are places you can go where you're not going to get griefed by teenagers and PvP'd all over the place.
Well, exactly. Well, but we've also there is a whole raft of ways. I mean, on the Kickstarter site, we've detailed some of them that we can make PvP okay in the game without it being a real problem to the player. So the first one is we're still planning to have saved positions, which feels really wrong in an MMO to a lot of people. But I actually think, I mean, we know how it's going to work, that actually it addresses a lot of the issues, the reasons I don't necessarily like MMOs. So there's that side of it. There's the fact that you can join groups that don't necessarily have that sort of thing in it. But also, if you think in a world like Elite, with bounties, what happens as soon as someone does a PvP kill, or even attempts it, they get a rating on their head, a bounty. Whoever shoots first essentially becomes a pirate. Plus the fact that the cops will come after them. Depending on the relative ratings, we will try and punish it more. So if a player with a high-end ship attacks a beginner, they will get a much higher bounty than if that happens the other way around.
Brilliant. Do you know what? I've played MMOs, and one of the things I've always hated is the PvP, because it just seems such a massively unbalanced gameplay, where you get people who always PvP just come and headshot you left, right, and center. And this sounds brilliant, because this allows you to take advantage of that player versus player, which you get a much more of a buzz from, but without all of the sort of unfairness and unbalanced play.
Exactly. So the victim can just go back to their safe position and lick their wounds, but the attacker then has to deal with the consequences of what they just did. And I think that, to me, is both attractive as a player, But also, what I'd like in an ideal world, and this is what the alpha and beta tests for the game are, is to balance this sort of thing, so that we get it right. But so that, I mean, what I want is the sort of game where I'll play it with player versus player enabled, so you can actually kill other players, but where it tends to only happen very rarely. Because I think in some ways that's the best of both worlds, because you have that feeling of danger, the feeling of threat, without the absolute, players can't kill players.
Yeah, brilliant, perfect. Listen, I'm signed up. I'm going to be in the second round. There's a range of different options on your Kickstarter, really good options. I'm going to be in the second round of beta testing. I'm going to be looking out for the character that may be randomly named after me, which is a brilliant idea. You're currently at around 823,000 of your 1.25 million target. Now, I've got every confidence you're going to make the target by the 4th of January, but if you don't, what happens?
Well, hopefully it's not an issue we will have to address. I mean, I dearly want to get this game made, and we will do a lot of head scratching, and let's plan for success.
And exactly.
If things don't go that way, we'll deal with that, and we'll work out. I do genuinely want to get it made, but without this, it becomes a lot harder.
Perfect. Perfect. I hope we'll be there. Thank you so much, David, for joining us. So, listeners, there you have it. If you want to see the game made, you need to back it. It's no use waiting until 2014 to buy it off the shelf, because it won't be there. If you can't afford to back it right now, you can still help by sharing the link with everyone you know and persuading them to back it instead. And if you're a total elite freak, you can also back the four Kickstarter projects, the books currently running, as the funded ones will use the first $4,500 of their pledge money to support the Mothership campaign by signing up for an Elite Dangerous Authors pack. Now, the world may not have ended today, as predicted by Mayan conspiracy theories, but if Elite Dangerous doesn't get funded, it really will end. I will personally make sure of it. So, you've been warned. This is Commander Kate Russell and Commander Braben signing off for the Pod Delusion.
Fantastic. Thanks, Kate. And thanks everyone who's helped to get this game going so far.
Thank you for listening to this longer cut of an interview from the Pod Delusion, poddelusion.co.uk. But for now, thanks for listening.